on today's Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
This Christian family with 10, I think 10 children, their home was hit, completely destroyed. Not just home, but the whole family wiped out.
Is that because of a disillusionment with Islam in general, or are they just meeting Christians for the first time?
And I think that every camp should be using Keys for Kids.
All this and more on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder, a podcast that takes you behind the scenes of a worldwide ministry reaching kids, teens, and families with the hope of Jesus Christ. Each monthly episode shares powerful stories of lives being changed through devotionals, radio programming, digital media, camps, storyteller devices, and ministry partnerships around the world. You'll also discover some urgent needs, encouraging testimonies, and specific ways that you can pray for evangelism and discipleship efforts in communities near and far. Today, we're going to talk to Ina Sinkevich with Mission Eurasia, giving us an update on our partnership in Ukraine. Mission Network News interviewed me about our work in Afghanistan. We'll have that complete interview. And it's camp season. We interviewed four campers about their love for the Keys for Camps program. Well, we're going to start off with a look at Ukraine. Ina Sinkevich with Mission Eurasia gave us an update on our partnership in Ukraine. Now, you might remember that we raised more than $50,000 to create a special devotional to help kids, teens, and families dealing with the horrors of war. They not only were created, but printed and distributed just in time for summer camp. Well, here's our interview on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder, and I've got a special guest, Ina Sinkevich. She's here with me from Mission Eurasia. And Ina, obviously, Mission Eurasia and Keys for Kids Ministries, we've been partnering for a number of years. And just recently, we worked together to help create a new devotional for the kids and teens and families that are dealing with the war in Ukraine. And we're just so thankful that we can form this partnership and that you guys have been able to translate some really key devotionals, both for kids and for teens, through Keys for Kids and Unlocked for the kids that are so desperately in need. Could you just give us an update on how things are going with that project?
Yes, absolutely. So when we first printed them, we started distributing them through our partners, maybe a little bit in churches or those who knew about us and our printed materials. But now that the camps started in June, right after school finished, we've been distributing them in camps. And it's been a huge blessing because they go all over Ukraine and they are used in camps as Bible lessons. A lot of leaders just use them like a base for the Bible lesson that they have in camps. And the questions below are super helpful because then they can use them for discussions. And other questions come up and kids get interested, and then they take them home and continue learning and reading, whether by themselves or I hear younger kids, a lot of times they ask their parents to read to them. So they still continue using them at home, which is a huge blessing. And it's not some book that, you know, that they like, oh, some book, you know, and they put it away. But when they get to know it a little bit in camps and everybody excited, learning together, then they get so much more interest and then continue reading it.
Has this been a help for Mission Eurasia and the work that you guys are doing, you know, obviously at camps right now, but is this an additional resource or is this a key resource?
Both. We have Bibles that we distribute, children's Bibles. So it's, in many cases, it's an addition to those. So it's both. Very helpful, a little different, but very helpful resources. You know, God's word is always God's word, and these are real life stories that children can super relate to. It's not some, you know, historical Bible stories. These are stories of real kids, and so it's very helpful for kids to see kids like me experience this, and they relate to it so much more than, you know, a lot of times to Bible stories. So it's both key resource in that way, and additional resource to the Bible, you know, spiritual formation of kids.
Now, just recently, you sent me some pictures and some testimonies of how they've been working within the camps and so forth. Can you just share maybe a couple of them? I did notice that there was one where a young man actually gave his faith or his life to faith in Christ.
Yes, that was a story that when I read, I was like, wow, it just shows you it's one of the so many of thousands of stories, right? And so, yes, in this case, Stas, his name is, a young teenage boy. His father is in the war. He's in the army. And so at first, Stas was proud of his father. You know, he went to war defending the country. Sounds good, you know. But then as time went by, he was afraid for his father. He heard stories of people being killed. And if he doesn't hear from his father, he's, you know, afraid for his life. And what if he doesn't come back? And so, and then his father is away for too long. He doesn't come back home, like hardly ever. And then they don't always have communication. So with time, he just started just feeling all those feelings of like, what if my father doesn't come back? And he's not there for him in all his, you know, daily life, things in school, things at home. He's just not there for him. And so he became withdrawn and just dealing with his own, you know, feelings and stuff. And so when he was invited to a local camp, he first didn't even want to go. He's just, you know, like all in his bubble, so to speak. But then because his mother encouraged him to go, he went to the camp. And at first he wasn't connecting to children very much. And he was on his phone, like trying to check if his father would answer, things like that. And so then it's amazing because one of the stories that impacted him was a very impactful is called Weeping, and that the story in the Unlocked, and that was the story that he read. And because for boys, a lot of times, I don't know how here it's in the US, in Ukraine, a lot of times, you know, if you weep, cry, you're weak, right?
Right.
So he didn't allow himself to cry, and he was just holding everything in and piling up, and it was piling up. And so then when he read that story, it really touched his heart. And so he went to talk to one of the leaders, of the camp leaders, and for the first time in a long, long time, he just started crying without shame. And he just, all the fear and hurt and anger, tears, just he started weeping, and he was not trying to hide it anymore. He felt obviously from the leader that he had the space to do it. And so he just received Jesus into his heart. Mm. And that was when he felt he was not alone, that God was with him in this journey. And that there were people for him, you know, like the camp leaders. And so it's one of the beautiful stories, or so many other stories. Or another one that I loved too, about a sister and a brother, whose father was actually killed, unfortunately. Very sad story. And here are these kids dealing with their grief, and they're in the camp, and how camp, you know, how they struggled, but how camp helped them find that joy, find people that loved them, that cared for them, kids that played with them, and friends. They made a lot of friends. And although they didn't understand some things, like for Emilia, the girl, she said, I was trying, I even wrote it down not to forget. She said, I don't understand why God would allow these things. But then she understood that he was with her in that struggle, in that pain. And for the boy, he understood that his heavenly father was with him. And that was through stories, Greg, through those stories that they read together with the leaders, or maybe they read by themselves in their free time. It's amazing. I hear so many stories. The kids read them just in their free time when they could be running around. And or like this one leader took a picture of kids just sitting on a bench, just reading the stories in their free time. And so he was just amazed how they were just so engaged and were reading them while maybe so many activities were going on, you know, and they chose to read stories. That's it's just incredible.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because, you know, when Sergey and I first, well, Sergey came up with this idea even over about a year ago, I guess it was, to come up with a devotional that really spoke to the kids and what they were dealing with. We just felt like there was this need that kids had. You've been listening to an interview with Ina Sienkiewicz with Mission Eurasia on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. More in just a second. Donations are down here at Keys for Kids Ministries. And I hate coming to you telling you this, but it's just the truth. We need God's word into the hands of more kids. They're dying without Jesus. Please help Keys for Kids Ministries raise some $300,000 for our devotional fund by August 31st. Your gift will provide Christ-centered devotionals for kids and teens who desperately need hope, including kids in public schools in places like Afghanistan or even in Ukraine. Give now with your best gift. Just go to keysforkids.org/devofund. That's keysforkids.org/devofund. In your mind and speaking with some of the people that are on the ground there and obviously seeing some of these testimonies that have come in, have we hit a need? I mean, is this really reaching the kids where they are right now?
Absolutely. Even by these two stories that what they read, how it connected with them, because as you mentioned, these stories are specifically stories that you have selected, which speak of pain that kids or teenagers go through. And the ones for teenagers, they even hit harder subjects like suicide, you know. And we had a page where we had a little more explanation about the feelings or things that they would encounter as they read the stories. And we had the helplines and everything on the last page that where they could contact in Ukraine and talk to a trained person. So I feel like we really did, because they connect the stories to real problems of this world. You know, it's not just war, it's other things going on, and kids struggle, kids all over struggle. And I really do feel that this special edition has been a huge blessing and still is, because we still continue distributing them in camps, and they still going on in August. So many more kids will receive them. So, yes.
No, we're excited about that. Well, what you don't know is that there was an earthquake in Venezuela. And we thought, what stories could we use to reach out to kids and teens in Venezuela? And we've literally taken those stories now and are translating them into Spanish so that we can meet a felt need there. So because of the vision that Mission Eurasia and us here at Keys for Kids Ministries, now we're able to reach in a whole new culture. We're so excited about that. How can we pray for Mission Eurasia? Obviously, the camps have another month or so to go. Obviously, you're looking forward to back to school, I'm assuming, time for kids. How can we pray for you guys?
I would say, especially for Ukraine, being a Ukrainian myself, and especially for Ukraine, and as keys for kids, being distributed in Ukraine. So I would specifically ask, I think, for the leaders, because they themselves go through struggles, through those emotions. I don't think there is a family in Ukraine that have not been touched, that has not been touched by the war, by somebody who has been killed in their family or their friends. Right. So they themselves go through these hard times, but they need to be there for children, their own children, children in camps, for the leaders, especially if they are in lead positions, you know, they have people under them. So. And all these daily struggles, all these news about another city being hit. Just this morning, Greg, I learned about this Christian family with 10 children. Their home was hit, completely destroyed. Not just home, but the whole family wiped out. And so, but it's somebody's relative, somebody's daughter, somebody's, you know, son and grandchildren. And
it's horrible.
And it's just this pain, or maybe they were in somebody's church. And so these leaders, they have to go, and not just leaders, everybody.
It's everybody. Yeah, everybody's feeling it. I mean, I can't just imagine the constant fear, the constant what's happening next. Almost takes the zest of life away. I can't even imagine what that must be like.
Right, no, me neither. I can read from stories, I can hear the stories. But until you're right there in the midst of it, I think it's just even hard for us to imagine the turmoil. So we can just pray for the strength for them as they endure this, that they still find peace in the midst of all those struggles, and their life continues. They still go to work, and the kids will go back to school soon. And it's just, you know, life, it's both. Life continues. Life and death, they walk together all the time.
For sure. Well, we're praying that the war ends. We're praying that God will just supersede and intervene, and that life can get back to whatever normal will be after this conflict, after this war and this invasion finishes and ends. We're just praying for that in a miraculous way, that God will reveal himself and that many, many people, Russian and Ukrainian, will come to faith in Jesus through this. That's what we're praying.
Amen. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
All right, Ina, I don't have any more questions for you. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Just thank you so much for this beautiful partnership, for this provision of the devotionals for kids and teenagers, and a lot of time adults, because as they read stories to their children, they also learn. We are always learners, and they are written in the language that is very, you know, even for adults, they can really relate to those stories. So we just really appreciate your partnership, all the people who have contributed to this, all the people who are praying. Just imagine that all the people that are part of this project and praying. We just really, really appreciate that. And we feel the prayers. We hear a lot of times from the leaders. We feel the prayers. We don't know where we find the strength sometimes. So just thank you very much for doing this and for being with us in this difficult season.
That's Ina Sienkiewicz with Mission Eurasia on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. You can continue supporting our Ukrainian part of the ministry. Just go to keysforkids.org/Ukraine and give your very best gift. Next, Keys for Kids Ministries has been partnering with FMI in Afghanistan for nearly 2 years now. It's been really an amazing thing to see God at work in this troubled nation plagued by the Taliban. In June, the Taliban made the news for clamping down on women who were not dressing appropriately and not following Sharia law. Well, because we have worked there, Mission Network News wanted to know what we thought about what was happening there and was it really affecting our partnership. Here's that interview.
This is Lindsay Coe with Mission Network News. I'm speaking today with Greg Yoder of Keys for Kids Ministries. Greg, thanks for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Oh, it's great to be back with you guys.
We're talking today about Afghanistan and some recent comments that were made by the Taliban Vice and Virtue Minister in Afghanistan, essentially doubling down on Sharia law despite human rights outcries from the international community. And we've also been reading that in recent weeks, Taliban Vice and Virtue officers in Herat have launched an operation to detain women accused of failing to observe the group's required dress code. All of these things, first of all, my question for you is, what does this indicate about the current state of Afghanistan and the future for the country?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question, because I think Afghanistan is already one of the most difficult places in which to be a Christian. In terms of the Taliban itself, they're scared because there are a lot of people that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Many of the people who are Muslim within the nation, moderate or not, hate the Taliban. They don't like that form of Islam. We're hearing stories of entire villages, half of them being wiped out because they don't agree with the Taliban form of Islam. And so there is a cry and a calling and a fear of the Muslims, even within Afghanistan, as it relates right now to them, just because they don't like what's going on there. So they don't like the Taliban. I would say that the majority of people that are in Afghanistan are not radical Taliban Islamists. They're just wanting to have what you and I have, peace, and to be able to worship the way they'd like to worship. What's amazing are the stories that we're hearing coming out of there in terms of villages coming to faith in Jesus. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but there's a lot going on in Afghanistan, and it's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that, the faith stories that you're hearing. And is that because of a disillusionment with Islam in general, or are they just meeting Christians for the first time?
Well, I think they're hearing about Jesus for the first time. They have their view of Jesus, the prophet, which is not the real Jesus. But then when they hear about God being a loving God and wants to have a relationship with you, that's beyond what they ever imagined in their form of Islam. And so when they begin hearing that God loves them and wants a relationship with them, and that they sent that God sent his son Jesus not to be a prophet, but be a sacrifice for their sin and give them peace that passes all understanding, and that they can come to faith in him and have a relationship with God, that's when it starts changing.
So what does this look like for Keys for Kids and trying to reach that country with the gospel?
Well, I'll just say that our local ministry partners already operate under tremendous pressure in Afghanistan. It started from the very beginning when a former Taliban terrorist coming to faith in Jesus Christ heard about our storytellers, which are solar-powered MP3 players that have an audio Bible in the Pashto or the Dari language, which are the Afghan languages. And he literally took them across the border. And now we have a great way of getting into Afghanistan. It's amazing how God has opened the door there. And when you think about the fact that this former Taliban terrorist, now a Christian, is the one that's getting these into these places, introducing the gospel to business owners, leaders within the community. And then you hear the stories of young men, like an 11-year-old boy who came to faith in Jesus Christ and wanted his village. He's an orphan kid. His parents were killed by suicide bombers, and now he's the one that took the gospel to his village, and his imam came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a church planted in that village. I mean, we've had over 23 churches in that region planted since the beginning of, January 2025, and so God is at work, and hearts are open in Afghanistan, and what we're obviously always see, whenever there's antagonism to the gospel, that's when the gospel flourishes.
So when a Muslim in Afghanistan comes to faith in Christ, what kind of risk are they taking on with that choice? What does that mean?
Death. Because if they come to faith in Jesus Christ as a Muslim, that's death. That's apostasy. That requires a sacrifice of their lives unless they convert back. And so we're hearing stories of entire villages coming to faith in Jesus, and then they're ostracized by the Taliban. Some of them killed. We had one of our leaders, he was actually handing out storytellers at the Blue Mosque in Afghanistan. If you know anything about the Blue Mosque, it's one of the stops in the pilgrimage for a certain sect of Islam, and he was handing them out at the Blue Mosque. He was later stabbed, survived, and we were asked, will you go back? And he says, well, of course I will. God protected me. He didn't allow me to die. He protected my life, and now I'm going to go back and tell them, you can't stab me because you tried that before and God protected me, so you need to listen to the gospel. So it's amazing what the stories, all the stories that are coming out from there. It's amazing the testimonies, and it's amazing what God is doing even in the midst of persecution, where we see literally entire villages ostracized by the religious sect of the Taliban.
Wow, that's a very challenging and humbling story to hear. How can Christians be responding to this story? How can we be praying and giving?
I would say, first of all, just pray that for our indigenous partners there. They obviously understand the language and culture, but the security concerns as well. But their lives are in danger anytime they mention the gospel. Anytime they walk out of their homes, they could be attacked. And so it's hard. It's creating opportunities. History shows that the church, as I mentioned, it often grows under persecution when governments and even opposing religious organizations attack you. But believers frequently become even more committed. And that's what we're seeing with our partners, and people searching for hope become more receptive to the gospel. So I think in terms of how we should respond, maybe we should, of course, pray for protection, courage, wisdom for believers there in Afghanistan, especially in light of how they share the gospel. Second, pray that those affected by the persecution would encounter Christ. Because just like Saul did on the road to Damascus, I can't help but think of that story, because it was an amazing miracle of God. And we're seeing that happen through these storytellers. They're hearing the amazing miracle of the gospel through these storytellers, and they're coming to faith in Christ. And then finally, just remember that God is still building his church. Jesus promised, I think it's in Matthew, putting on the spot, I think it's Matthew 16, that says that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so we know that, and we know that he will do amazing things above and beyond what we can ask or imagine, even through this. And so we're just encouraging people to pray with those three things in mind.
Thanks so much, Greg. That's all my questions I have for today, but is there anything else that you wanted to add?
I'm sure that there are people potentially who might want to support this part of our ministry. We're literally spending thousands and thousands of dollars to get storytellers into this area of the world. And so if anyone wanted to participate in this program, all they'd need to do is go to keysforkids.org/international. And you can read all of the stories that are happening internationally, including what's happening in Afghanistan. And then just click on the link to donate, and you can give safely and securely on our website. I'd like to thank Mission Network News and Lindsay Coe for featuring Keys for Kids Ministries on their radio network. If you'd like to have Mission News delivered daily to your personal email address, just go to missionnews.org. That's missionnews.org and sign up. It's free. Keys for Kids Ministries is featured regularly on that network. Just take time and go there, search for Keys for Kids, and you can read all the stories that they've written about us. Well, it's summer, and I have to tell you, it's been very difficult for June and July in terms of donations. While it's always been slower this time of year, this year it's been just terrible, and I really can't say why. I don't know why. While God is blessed by helping us provide some funding for special projects like Nepal and Albania, our general fund dollars are off significantly, and that's why I'm asking friends like you to come alongside us and invest in our Summer of Hope Devotional Fund. This is a general fund expense that needs support. $300,000 is our goal to fully fund that part of our ministry. This part of the ministry goes to help anyone that we send devotionals to for free of charge, for our public school outreach, our outreach to Ukraine, and many other places, including juvenile detention centers and camps. So help us out. Just go to keysforkids.org/devofund. That's keysforkids.org/devofund. And finally, summer is camping season, and we have a program called Keys for Camps. We donate the inside part of our devotional, while the camps customize the outside part of it. So it looks like it's really coming from their camp. Why do we do it? Well, we want kids to be in God's Word all year, not just a week at camp. Camps share the same desire. They need follow-up material, but they don't usually have the staff to create a devotional for their campers all year long. But we do. One camp director said, "Why recreate the wheel?" So we decided to really start a program called Keys for Camps several years ago. And because we always want to know what the kids think about our devotionals, we went to camp ourselves. We decided to go to Camp Mishawana and to find out what their campers thought about Keys for Kids on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
My name is Lucy Crandall.
Hi, Lucy. So talk to me about Unlocked. You've read Unlocked?
Yeah.
So you've got it. Where did you get it?
I get it mailed to my house sometimes, and I get it from Camp Mishawana. It's a great camp to learn about the Lord and just deepen your faith, and they have good lessons. And
do you like Unlocked, first of all?
Yes, I do.
Why do you like it?
Because it's super easy, and it like comes to my house, and I can read it every day, and it reminds me to like dive deeper into my Bible instead of just reading it. And it like explains what, not just like what the word is saying, but like how to use it.
So when you leave camp, usually kids leave camp on like a high. It's like, oh, I love camp. It's so fun. And then you leave camp, and it's like, oh, I wish I could go back to camp. Talk about that. You feel like that way sometimes?
I feel sad when I leave camp, but then it like going with my friends and stuff, and then they like help me, and then we just kind of like try our best to stay on that high and like keep reading our Bibles and stuff.
So does Unlocked help you do that?
Yes. It like reminds me of what to do, and it like I see it there, and then I remember to do it, and I start doing it, and I just like I feel like I'm still at camp, not just by myself at home. it feels like it's not just me, like the person telling the story in Unlocked. It like makes me feel like I'm not alone and there's people helping me through my like journey. It just makes me happy to see that I'm not the only one that I'm like seeing in the book. I usually go in my room and I read it and I keep it in my bedside table so that I can see it. I like the length of it. Like it's not too long that I like feel like it's a burden, but it's like short enough that I can stay focused. But it's also long enough that I can like actually learn something from it.
Hi, I'm Jackson McKinney. I like that it's like a routine reading and it helps you like follow scripture after I'm like done coming like home from camp. All topics speak to me pretty well. I mean, it's like, it's nice to like have that it's like a daily routine and like when I wake up, I'll read like a little devotion before I start the day or something. Yeah, I kind of like nonfiction just because it's just like, it's just real. Like you can hone in on what the point they're trying to get across and like really study like the message that they're bringing you. But like you can fill in your own stuff and it asks you questions about like the story and stuff and you can like just write down your own notes if you want, like on the side of the page or, and it asks you questions to like make sure you're like diving deep into it and like really recognize and realize the story. Unlocked just like brings me closer to like God's word and I can like focus on him more and really like realize like what's important in life and what's not. I'm a teen and it helps me like in this like get in this routine of like reading God's word. And I think it's a really great thing for everybody to do, to like start your day or even end your day with a little piece of scripture. Unlock can like help you, guide you through Christianity and like just bring you closer to God and like enhance your relationship with him.
My name's Marie Hayes. I go to Camp Mitchawana. This is only my second year, but I was here for the Elite Retreat and Big Chill as well. Going to high school, it was really hard, honestly, to balance school, sports, family, my relationship with God, and I feel like camp helps me get in such a better mindset to balance all those things with the Lord involved. So I think, honestly, like just going to camp, it helps me just get through my days better because I'm on such a high, and I don't know, it just makes me so much happier.
Okay, if we were to send you something home to remind you of camp all year long, what would you say?
Probably something like Unlocked. Like I feel like that'd be easier to definitely open my Bible every day and just like probably feel more like moved. I'm 15 years old.
So what are you looking for in a devotional?
Just something that can stay in my mind like at all times throughout the day, not just be like a quick second of my day, but I can really live through it.
So you want something fast? You want something short? You want something longer?
I want something long.
How long?
Pretty long.
Well, I mean, 5 minutes, half hour, hour, 2 hours, five
half hours? Hour sounds perfect. Oh, I want to read about it because I think it'll help people like actually seeing it in front of their face and not just hearing about it and being able to read it for themselves will definitely, I feel like, get the point across more than just hearing about it. And I feel like it'll really like get into their soul.
Okay, so if I told you that I have Unlocked, it's written by teens for teens or teen leaders for teens, what would that mean to you?
That would mean a lot that someone is like spending their days trying to help people like me and get it through their head and really like have Christ more involved in their life.
Hi, my name is Sadie Corliss. Yeah, so I was introduced to Keys for Camps way back when I started coming, over a decade ago now. And it was the first time I had learned about Keys for Kids and I started reading them here at camp. And I remember my counselor walking me through how to read it and how to use the Bible verses. And then when I went home, I would get them in the mail. And so I continued to do them at home. And I tried to do it like every day and follow the monthly plan that it had for me. And so then now with my campers, I will use Keys for Kids and the Unlocked and I read it to them at night and I give it to them and explain it to them so that in hopes that they can use it while they go home and read their Bibles.
Talk to me about being a camper, that week you camp. It's pretty cool until you go home.
It's so easy, like it's infectious here because just everyone loves Jesus and it's so easy to get caught up in the just the fire that goes on here and you get really excited about your faith. But when you go home, you're not met with the same excitement. And so you kind of get discouraged very quickly when you realize that nobody else is like out to help you in your walk with God. And so I think that's really helpful to have resources going home, because I knew camp was going to continue to give me these, and that I could keep like reading them, and that when I went back to camp next year, we're going to keep using Keys for Kids, and we're going to keep reading it. And it was a consistent like piece of camp and my life. And so it helped with like some of that transition, because I knew it was going to be at home and at camp. I felt like people care about me, and that's why they're sending these to me, because they care that I'm in God's Word. Taking Keys for Kids home helps so much, because it's a little piece of camp, but it's the same truth of God's Word that we learn here at camp, and it fuels us when we're home, and it helps encourage us in our walk with God.
So should other camps do this?
Yeah, I totally think that this is a great resource for people to use, and I think that every camp should be using Keys for Kids.
That's Lucy Crandall, Jackson McKinney, Marie Hayes, and Sadie Corliss at Camp Mishawana on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Looking for fun, faith-filled entertainment for your kids? Tune into Keys for Kids Radio. It's streaming 24/7 with music, stories, and programs that inspire kids to grow in their walk with Jesus. From exciting adventures to uplifting worship songs, it's the perfect blend of fun and faith all in one place. Start streaming today at keysforkids.net, through the Keys for Kids app, or on your smart speaker by saying, "Hey Alexa, play Keys for Kids Radio." Let's light up hearts for Jesus, one song, one program, one moment at a time. Well, I just want to thank you for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, a monthly podcast that takes you behind the scenes of a worldwide ministry that's reaching kids, teens, and families with the hope of Jesus Christ. Today, you heard from Ina Sienkiewicz of Mission Eurasia talking about Ukraine, my interview with Mission Network News about our work in Afghanistan, and then Lucy Crandall, Jackson McKinney, Marie Hayes, and Sadie Corliss at Camp Mishawana endorsing our devotionals at camp. Well, be sure to share this podcast with friends and family. Hey, until next time, thanks for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast as we keep pointing kids, teens, and families to Jesus, one heart at a time.